You're listening to episode 143 of the Walking Leader Podcast. This is the Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 143. I'm your host, David Guetta, author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. In this episode, I have my very first guest interview. That's right. Guest number one of the Walking Leader Podcast is Dr. Patricia Thompson. Dr. Thompson is a corporate psychologist and management consultant who works with senior leaders in organizations, helping them with executive coaching, leadership development, team building, and a variety of other areas. Her work has been featured in Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Fast Company, Entrepreneur Inc., and plenty of other places all over. So, Patricia has also written a book called The Consummate Leader, a holistic guide to inspiring growth in others and in yourself. We're going to talk about a few other things as well. And you know what? Let's get this interview started. Here's Dr. Patricia Thompson.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Guess what? I have somebody to interview. It's the first interview down here on the Walking Leader Podcast. And joining me today is Dr. Patricia Thompson. Not that kind of doctor, but she'll explain that. She's the president of Silver Lining Psychology out of Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Thompson or Patricia? What do you like? Or Dr. Pat? What?
You can call me Patricia.
Okay. Well, Patricia, thank you. Thank you for agreeing. And it's been a long journey to get us here just to this conversation, but I do welcome you. Tell you what, tell everybody a little bit about you, what you do, who you are, where you come from, and who you're a fan of, and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so I am a corporate psychologist and management consultant. My PhD is actually in clinical psychology, but once I finished my postdoc, I actually fell into consulting and really enjoyed it. And so basically what I do now is work with senior leaders, primarily some less senior in organizations, helping them to become more effective leaders. And I do that through executive coaching and training and team building and things along those lines. So really love what I do and am looking forward to sharing some tips on how to become a better leader.
Welcome. Welcome. And I'm looking at your website. Again, it's Silver Lining Psychology, all one word, folks. Silver Lining Psychology, all one word, .com. Don't put the www's up there. And if you have to put an HTTP, make sure you put HTTPS. And don't worry about the www's. The system will take care of itself. So I'm checking out the website. Really nice website. And right away, you say, you are, and I am, and let's work together to take your business results to the next level. So did I miss it? It says here you have a 10-plus year proven record. Was this what you wanted to do, or you just kind of stumbled into it?
Just kind of stumbled into it, really. Originally, I had anticipated that I was going to be a clinical psychologist. And so I actually only learned about consulting while I was doing my postdoc. And my postdoc was actually at a public hospital associated with Emory's Medical School. And as part of our training, we had people coming in telling us different things we could do with our degree. And someone came in and talked about consulting. And they were actually recruiting at the time. And they were just looking for people who they felt had the aptitude for it. And so sounded really interesting at the time, the opportunity to work with a different population and to travel and things like that. So I put my hat in the ring and they thought I would be a good fit, and the rest is history.
Wow. So how far have you gone? How far has this taken you?
Pretty far. I mean, I've done a lot of travel. I worked for that particular firm for about 10 years, and every year, actually, I was diamond on Delta, which is, I guess, a dubious honor. It's great when you want to fly for free, but it also means that you're actually amassing all those miles while you're traveling. I also do a lot of writing and interviews in a variety of places, like the Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Fast Company, Inc., places like that. I've written a book called The Consummate Leader, and I also create various online courses to help people to become better in the workplace as well.
Well, very nice. Very nice. So it's The Consummate Leader, and that's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble?
Yep. All over the place. Electronic books as well.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Yeah, that's kind of where everything's going. And folks, I will have a link to that book on the show notes, so be sure to visit the show notes. The Consummate Leader, it is as it's spelled. Well-traveled, well-versed, and now you're doing this. It's just you. It's a group It says you're the president, but
Me. I guess president, CEO, everyone. I have some contractors who I work with for the admin stuff, but I'm the primary consultant. It's me. I left the firm that I was with about 5 years ago, decided that I wanted to go on my own and be self-employed. And that was just a great decision for me. I mean, I've grown in a lot of ways that I wouldn't have grown if I was working for someone else, but it really also just appreciate the flexibility to be able to not only manage my time as I want to, but also to be able to have an idea and kind of bring it to fruition without having to run it past anyone else. So it's been a really good decision for me.
It mentions here that you talk at senior level. At what point would you say makes a senior level? I know we've seen org trees, we've seen org charts and all of that, but what would you say would be prime to begin your conversations in your work with somebody says, okay, I'm at this level now. Who would that be? At what level would that be?
Yeah, so primarily director level on up. Sometimes I've worked with some mid-managers who in organizations, people have felt that they had potential and they wanted to develop them. But usually it's people who are, I guess, in a position where they're a lot of the time leading other leaders, or they might be in their first sort of, like I said, director type role and need to be leading and not just managing the work, but really kind of being more visionary leaders and thinking in a different way.
And they got me thinking. So at that level, okay, so you're looking leader of leaders. Mm-hmm. At that level, what would you say would be the one thing to be on the lookout for, the one thing that could make or break?
Yeah, for me, I think that the most important thing for leadership is being self-aware. So really understanding your strengths, your opportunities for growth, your emotional triggers, your values, what drives you, all those sorts of things. Because, you know, as a leader, you're really an orchestrator of the work as opposed to a doer of the work. And so you really have to understand how your own, I guess, instrument, if we use the orchestra metaphor, works. And so the best leaders are the ones who are self-aware. And to me, self-awareness is really the foundation for all really effective leadership. I don't think you can be a really great leader without it.
I like that. Now you also mentioned, you know, that they're not the doers, but how much does remaining a doer play in getting to know, you know, knowing yourself, knowing your limits, knowing where you are now and where it's going to take you?
I think it really depends on the position and the kind of nature of the organization. But I think that the mistake a lot of organizations make sometimes is that they'll take someone who's a really good doer, so someone who might be very technically skilled, mm-hmm. and put them in a leadership position without necessarily thinking about their, you know, interpersonal skills or soft skills or ability to actually lead. And so I do think that, you know, effective leaders know how to do the work, but I think there's something beyond that that's so important. And I think, you know, once you get to a certain level of seniority within an organization, you're simply not going to be able to know how to do all of the work. And that's where some of the leadership and delegation and knowing how to vet people and hire effectively really comes into play.
Yeah, so it's a lot of trial and error at that point.
Well, hopefully not.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes you find out sooner than later that it's more error and it might not be the right fit. So when somebody gets to that point, they see themselves, maybe I'm not the right fit, yet everybody else is still believing in them. What would you say to somebody like that?
Yeah, at that point, I think you really need to be focused on development. Because, you know, there are sometimes people who will think they're not the right fit because they have the imposter syndrome. And so even though other people might think they are the right fit, just the person doesn't recognize the strengths within themselves. I think if there's agreement that someone isn't the right fit, then, you know, that's when you either need to start working on development or start thinking about pivoting to another position. You know, something that I've seen is that someone can be very successful in one role in one organization and unsuccessful in that same role in another organization. And a lot of it has to do with culture or the team that they're going to be leading or the demands of the work. So you know, hopefully you would start by trying to develop yourself, but then if it really wasn't a good fit, you might want to think about other roles that would be a better fit for you.
Okay. So they're thinking of other, and I'm driving this, and I don't know what direction I'm going, but I like it. So they see themselves that maybe they belong someplace else, but yet management is coming to you and they're saying, Patricia, please, this guy's it. This is it. This gal, she's got the stuff. She's got the right stuff. What do you do then? I mean, at what point do you say, you know what, I got to side with the employee. I got to side with this individual.
Well, I think, you know, if the employee themselves doesn't think they're the right fit, then, you know, you don't want to put anyone in a position in which they're not comfortable and in which they are not going to be engaged. If someone's not engaged with the work that they're doing, then they're less likely to be successful. And so I've seen people actually who are very capable, but maybe didn't want a bigger role because they wanted to focus on work-life balance or because they were happy with what they were doing. And so I don't think it's ever a good idea to put someone in a position against their will. You know, I think that would be something that I would bring up. It's just if the employee's not interested in the role, do you really, I mean, you don't want to force them. I think you want to challenge them and give them stretch goals and maybe give them a preview of what the position might be like by giving them some projects that might be relevant. But if after that they're still not convinced that they would be a good fit, then I think you just got to leave it as is and find someone else.
So even the headstrong, you know, the somebody at the C-suite or up at the president level says, you know, we're going to invest in it. We're going to make this person, be that one that's going to lead us into, you know, wherever they're going to take us into the middle of the 21st century. And they're still not getting it. So, yeah, it's how do you convince them? You know, sure, you can convince you side with them. They understand, the individual does. And you know, obviously, like you said, you're not going to put them where they don't want to be. But how do you just reinforce or reassure the C-suite or the leadership that, you know, this is not going to work, even though they're adamant?
I think if you can speak to the strengths and developmental opportunities of the person and kind of really highlight why you think that person's not going to be the greatest fit, I think that would be one thing. I think the other thing is, you know, most senior leaders recognize that if someone is not engaged in the work that they're doing and they're not motivated to do it, then they're not going to be successful. And so, I mean, I have seen situations where, you know, they might have been really high on a particular employee, but if that employee just wasn't interested in the role, they might have been disappointed. But, you know, again, you can't put someone in a role against their will. So they usually understand that.
Gotcha. And I was just going down that route because sometimes one side will pull, the other side will push, or both sides will pull. And it happens because they really, really like this individual. They see what this individual brought to the organization. And at the same time, yes, the individual themselves, this is kind of where I want to be. I'm happy here. And they don't want to.
Yeah, and I have seen situations where they've kind of pressured someone into taking a role. Sometimes it turns out well, but a lot of times it doesn't. So, you know, I think it's a risk you always take when you're doing something like that.
Yes, definitely. It is. It's a big risk across both sides. See the both sides of this, and I'm just throwing this hypothetical situation, but your book, let's talk a little bit about your book, The Consummate Leader, and of course, I just clicked off of it because I added it to my cart. That's why I clicked off of it. A Holistic Guide to Inspiring Growth in Others and in Yourself. You want to talk a little bit more about that, please?
Yeah, so I decided to write the book based on my experience working with leaders across the years. And one of the things that I saw was that a holistic approach to leadership development was the most effective. You know, not just thinking about the work itself, but thinking about who you're being as you're aiming to get the work done. And what I noticed in my work with the most effective leaders was that they had several traits in common. And so in the book, I really talk about those seven qualities that I've seen and give a lot of strategies for how to develop them. And so I already talked about self-awareness, which I think is the foundation of leadership. And I think that's the most important trait. But other traits that I've seen are spirituality. And I don't necessarily mean that in the religious sense. I think of it more as having a deep sense of purpose. So the idea that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And I think that when a leader has a sense of meaning in their work, It allows them to dig deep when the going gets tough, but I also think that it really helps them to set a vision for others and inspire others by the passion that they have. And so that's the second one. Something else called self-management is another characteristic that I see. And by that, I mean the person manages their thoughts, their health, their energy, their focus. They have a mindset that is positive, that works to their advantage. And they also take care of themselves on a physical level, just because there's so much research about how when you take care of yourself physically, it has positive effects on, you know, creativity, productivity, those sorts of things. And also make sure that you just have enough fuel to be able to do the work. The fourth characteristic is positivity. And there's just a wealth of research that shows that more positive leaders tend to get better results. And so really strong leaders know how to manage their emotions and be in a place in which they're genuinely in a positive mood most of the time. Research also suggests that leaders' moods, well, all of our moods are contagious, but leaders' moods are particularly contagious. And so it's really important that they can stay upbeat and positive. And then the last three characteristics are authenticity. So just being genuine and real, being able to express your opinions even when they might not be popular, being assertive, but also being able to show vulnerability so that you create safety in the workplace. Relationship building. So knowing that when you build genuine relationships, it really helps you to create a sense of camaraderie on the team. And those relationships so much help people to get things done. And then the last one is coaching and developing. So really knowing that you can't get everything done by yourself, and just putting an emphasis on developing your people so that you can help them to grow their skills. And that not only helps you to get work done in the present, but it also helps you to build bench strength so that hopefully when you move on to bigger and better things, you have someone who's always already prepared to be your successor. So that's like the nutshell version of the book.
Wow. Yeah. And succession, that's my, that, yeah, it catches people off guard because they're not prepared, they're not ready. They talk about it, but succession, the time comes and everybody's caught with, you know, that deer in the headlight look. And it's, yeah, so I understand. Great. I'm looking at the write-up here on Amazon. And like I said, I did add it to my cart. It's there. It's going to get bought. But there's one line, a couple of lines that caught me here. You did achieve, build, and care. So you took that ABC approach. I love it. But right below that, it talks about with her accessible and often humorous style, utilizing notable lessons. Yeah, you knew it was coming. Utilizing notable lessons from Nelson Mandela, which he had plenty. He had, you know, his life is a lesson. But here we go. To SpongeBob SquarePants. Okay, please, come on. Share that. Just share that, please. How that get added in there?
Well, really, just SpongeBob is to me is the epitome of optimism, and there's just so much research about the benefits of optimism. You know, as a leader for customer service, even for sales, and so the most effective people in the workplace tend to be optimistic because they have a high sense of self-efficacy and they really believe in themselves. And so, yeah, SpongeBob is just kind of, to me, like kind of the dictionary definition of optimism.
It's not because you're a mom.
No, actually, my son doesn't watch a ton of, he doesn't watch SpongeBob. That's someone else's kid.
No, that caught my eye, and it's like, I need to ask. So pretty cool. Wow. So we're getting, our time is running short. Like I said, I do appreciate your time, taking your time this evening. I know we're in the middle of a basketball game. We're here in the finals, so I'll let you go here in just a couple of minutes. Folks, we're talking to Dr. Patricia Thompson, and she's the author of The Consummate Leader, a Holistic Guide to Inspiring Growth in Others and in Yourself. Also, the president of Silver Lining Psychology. Visit their website, Silver Lining psychology.com, and all of these links are going to be on the website. I've already put the book in the cart. As soon as we're done here, I'll do the buy. But before we go, and I would definitely, and I think everybody listening definitely appreciate some tips that you can pass along to everybody, something that they can take now, right now, and possibly even see immediate results tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so I think, you know, because self-awareness is so foundational, the tip that I would have, first of all, would be to start by just creating an exhaustive list of your strengths and your developmental opportunities. And then with that list, you can be very intentional about really trying to leverage your strengths in the workplace and also create action plans to work on your areas for growth. And I think that, you know, to take that to the next level, you could go and ask people for feedback. That way, you know, if you have any blind spots, if you ask people to be honest with you, you can gain some greater areas about our insights into if there are any derailers that could get in the way or just areas for growth that you could work on. And then the last thing that I would suggest, and this is not an immediate thing, but would really be to develop a mindfulness practice. Mindfulness is basically the ability to pay attention intentionally and to stay in the present moment. It's kind of hard to describe in like a 2-minute blip, but basically it's the ability to observe yourself. So to have some distance from your emotions and your thoughts. And it sounds kind of straightforward, but it tends to be the sort of thing that people really need to practice. So I would encourage you to look into mindfulness. If you actually go on my website, there's a lot of information there about mindfulness. If you go to the self-study section, I actually even have a course on mindfulness. But I've seen it to be really transformational for a lot of people in the workplace. And, you know, a lot of Fortune 100 companies teach mindfulness because it really does help people to be more self-aware, to manage their emotions, to build their emotional intelligence, and also to be more productive. So that would be something else to look into kind of longer term.
Wow, very nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I got one question, and I think this becomes one of those that we find either those that haven't made the leap yet or those that haven't found the right person to make the leap with, is asking for feedback, asking for honest feedback. Because I know I'll ask somebody and say, hey, what do you think of what I just wrote? What do you think of what I just said? Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. And that's all we get. How do we ask for the deeper feedback, the deeper dive into that feedback?
I think you can frame it by just saying, I really want to get better. So I'd really appreciate like your absolute candor. And then you could say, you know, what do you think was really good about this, so that people get to say that? And then what specifically one thing that I can improve on, you know? And if somebody says there's nothing, I think you could acknowledge, hey, I'm not perfect. And, you know, see if that opens the door for them to tell you something. The other thing that can be helpful is acknowledging something that you need to work on. So saying, you know, I was wondering about this part here. What do you think about that? Or, you know, I'm working on my listening skills. I think that they're an issue. Could you give me some examples of maybe when I wasn't listening the greatest? And I think that when you open the door by kind of admitting a flaw first, it makes it easier for other people to realize that, okay, he knows he's not perfect. Let me give him some feedback. But I think it's really like teeing it up appropriately first.
Gotcha. I think that one right there is the one we can take away right away and do something with right away and see the feedback right away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good one. Thank you for going deeper into that one with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, and I think we're coming up on our hard stop here, so I'm not too sure if the machine's going to cut us off or I've not done this. So let's say our goodbyes. And I guess, again, folks, we've been talking to Dr. Patricia Thompson, silverliningpsychology.com. It's an awesome website. Check it out. I'm all in it right now. And then author of the book, The Consummate Leader, A Holistic Guide to Improving Growth in Others and in Yourself. And there's probably a couple of things in there about SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm waiting for that book to, I'm not going to do the download. I like the book. I like feeling.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I love the feeling of the book. I love cracking the spine, but that's me. again, so I thank you very much for your time, man.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you for everything.
You have been listening to episode 143, an interview with Dr. Patricia Thompson of Silver Lining Psychology. All the links mentioned in this episode are in the show notes on the podcast episode 143 page of DaveGuerra.com. I invite you to visit and take a look and click on her links. And don't forget to also click on the link to purchase her book, The Consummate Leader, A Holistic Guide to Inspiring Growth in Others and in Yourself. Also, I invite you to email me. Let me know what you think of this episode, what you thought of Dr. Thompson's insights and advice that she gave us. Also, you can also follow me or and message me on Twitter at Dave Guerrero, @DaveGuerrera, all one word. And follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDavidGuerra. And if you're listening to this on the website, thank you for listening. But you can also subscribe and get this delivered on the Apple Podcast app. So get that done, get that taken care of. And it's down below here on the website. So if you're listening there. And if you're subscribed on iTunes, or I'm sorry, on Apple Podcasts, because now it's that's what it's called now. I thank you for doing that. I do appreciate it. I do appreciate you. And let me know what you think. And also, leave a review. It really helps. Again, I thank you and everyone else that's listening to episode 143. So join me next week for episode 144. I'll be talking about teaching others, especially those you lead. Until then, take care and always go beyond the grind. Go beyond the hustle, because that's the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is great to follow.